Intervju Radija Študent.
Pozdravljeni v Ereš intervjuju. Pred njihovim nocojšnjim nastopom v Kino Šiška z domačimi Karma Koma smo nekje na poti blizu Gradca na telefonu ujeli frontmana zasedbe Dina Beknerja. Gre za glasbenika, ki je v svoji 16-letni glasbeni karieri z zasedbami, kot so Wolf Parade, Handsome Furs, Divine Fits ter nazadnje Operators izdal kar 13 albumov. Zadnjega med njimi, prvenec Operatorsov z naslovom Blue Wave, smo v minulem tednu predstavili tudi v tolpi bumov. Prisluhnite intervjuju, v katerem smo spregovorili o življenju na poti, kreativnemu procesu za album Blue Wave, sodelovanju s producentom Grahamom Walshem, nastopanju v Burmi, ljubezni do Balkana, žalostnih ovetih prihajajočih ameriških volitev in še čem.
So, hey Dan, how do you do?
Hey, I'm good, how are you?
I'm alright. Where did I get you? You're on the road, right?
Yeah, we're like 40 kilometers outside of Graz right now, so we're
still in Austria.
Yeah, still just barely in Austria, heading towards Slovenia. So,
alright. Yeah. So, how has the tour been so far?
You know, honestly, it's been pretty great because we played Bucharest and Budapest and shows in Poland and Czech, and it's been a long time. It's been like 4 years since I've been out here with a band, and I miss it very much. It was, you know, it's kind of my favorite place to tour. So this part of the world. So.
I saw that you also visited some places for the first time, even like it was Brno, I think, right?
Yeah. Brno was surprisingly awesome. I'd never been there before, and I kind of couldn't believe that I'd never gotten a show booked there. Because it has this really, really great sort of down-to-earth vibe that is maybe missing in Prague, only because Prague is a bigger, more of a tourist city, I think. But Brno is kind of an industrial, a little more industrial second city, and people seem really excited to see music, so that made me happy.
Well, nice to hear this. I think that, I mean, as I imagine, 2016 must have been quite a busy year for you so far, because, you know, Wolf Parade have you reunited and you've released your first full length with Operators. So I was wondering, how come are you involved with so many bands and projects? Is this some kind of personal urge or more like a financial necessity? What is it that drives you?
I think it's a personal thing, you know, on a lot of different levels. I think, first of all, I get to make a type of music with Operators that I can't do with Wolf Parade, you know, that has more electronic elements, is more rhythm-based, is maybe more on the line of, like, post-punk stuff, you know. It can get a little little weirder in a different way, you know? And that was something I had with Handsome Furs and wanted to continue after that band stopped being a band. So, and then I think on the other side of it, it's that I'm pretty lucky to get to play music for a living, so I would like to fill up my free time with playing music, you know, being on tour. Mm-hmm.
So as far as songwriting is concerned, you're basically in charge of everything with operators.
Yeah, that's right. That's pretty much it. Although, you know, I'll come up with the basic structure, and then Devoico will flesh out, like, the arrangements or, you know, write. In the case of, like, there's a song Control that we just put out as an EP. Mm-hmm. And that song, like, I kind of wrote the main theme, like the bass line and everything around it. And then Devoico wrote the end, and Sam kind of flipped the beat and wrote the rhythms into the choruses. So that was pretty collaborative. But yeah, generally I'm the one writing. So, mm-hmm.
So yeah. I was also wondering if you could tell me something about the process between the creation of Blue Wave. I mean, you recorded it in Ontario, is it right? Yeah, in a barn.
Yeah, in a barn. Yeah.
So it was more like a idyllic rural area.
It was, but it was a really blank kind of rural area. So I wouldn't necessarily say the land around the barn was beautiful by any means. It's just flat, green, agricultural land, and, you know, some trees, and 20 minutes to the nearest, like, gas station. So it's like really kind of boring in a lot of ways, which I liked because it allowed for focus, and you can kind of project your ideas onto this blank landscape. You know, I liked that. That was good. I didn't feel any influence from the surroundings, which was cool.
What about? Sorry, just continue.
No, go ahead.
No, I was wondering, how come did you decide to work with Graham Walsh from Holy Fuck?
Well, I thought he did such a... You know, I've known Graham for over 10 years. The first time I met him was Holy Fuck opened for Wolf Parade at our first show in London, and I'd never met any of them before. And ever since then, we just became friends, you know? They toured with us a bunch, And I didn't, it was actually Dustin who plays bass and Operators who turned me on to the fact that we were talking about the Viet Cong record. Mm. And I thought the production on that record was so good. And Dustin was basically, yeah, like Graham produced that record. I couldn't believe it. So
what about your decision to bring back the guitar into the front of your sound? How did you, I mean, why did you decide to bring it back? Why did you decide to move a little bit away from the synths?
I think when we started the band, I wanted to do like a very kind of narrow aesthetic. I had a very narrow aesthetic vision for it where it was like, you know, synthesizers, live drums, and that's it. And vocals. And to kind of keep it, in my mind, I thought it was like, you know, kind of keeping it pure. But then once we started touring, we did this long tour with Future Islands, and the guitar just kept creeping back in. And I think because it added an element of... The guitar adds an element of chaos, I think, on top of the sequenced stuff. You know, it's kind of more organic, and it's never going to be the same twice. Same with the live drums, you know, with Sam's drumming.
So basically a spontaneous necessity or decision.
Yeah, it's spontaneous sort of aesthetic realization, I think. Also, I love playing guitar, so, you know, I had this idea that I would just put it down for this band, but I can't stay away from it. So
since you've mentioned different aesthetics and so on, how would you describe these differences between the personal voice which we hear in the bands Wolf Parade, Divine Feats, Operators? I mean, are these bands different vehicles for different issues that bother you, or I mean, how do you draw a line between them lyrically as well as sonically?
Sonically, it's pretty easy for me to draw lines between those bands. Like Divine Fits, I feel like musically the thing that informs it is minimalism and, you know, kind of like the most, you know, like AC/DC was a big influence. AC/DC is all about economy, you know, it's like, here's a chord, here's another chord, here's a guitar solo, here's a vocal, like, it's almost like the Ramones, you know, so that kind of minimalism informed that. Wolf Parade is definitely like a collaborative sort of art rock effort, and then Operators is just synthesis and creating an atmosphere and rhythm. And then lyrically, working backwards, I think, you know, like, there's only one Divine Fits record, and it was totally preoccupied with my divorce. So, because that's what was happening then, and I needed some outlet for it. Wolf Parade has been consistently, like, a personal sort of outlet for me, like, emotionally. Mm-hmm. So I find that the Wolf Parade stuff is generally more about sort of feelings, for lack of better word, you know, more abstract emotional stuff, personal stuff. And then Operators is really a mix of that and politics. You know, I think Operators is filling a void that was created when Hits and Furs broke up, where I have a vehicle to sing about, you know, political things that wouldn't necessarily fit with Wolf Parade, because you have another voice, you know, in there as well. Still, I think it would be jarring.
Yeah, would you agree that still that the I mean, your first full length with the Operators is your most danceable album so far?
I would agree with that statement. Yeah.
But is it because I know you're more into electronic music now, or is it just that you kind of combined all the influences which you've been absorbing in your career?
I think it's a combination of, yeah, absorbing influences, and it was something I was pushing towards with the last Handsome Furs record, and definitely I'm better at programming synths, you know? Like, I'm better at working a sequencer, and I understand how that music works a little bit more, because when I first started making music like that in 2007, I had literally no idea what I was doing. I just, that first record is just error and yeah, trial and error, you know, just turning knobs and seeing what happens. But now I can kind of get closer to the sounds that I want to hear.
But is it true that you all the new productions that you do are made on basically sequencers, that you don't compose music with your guitar anymore?
Yeah, well, for Operators, it's mostly keyboards and synths and drum machines. And then for Wolf Parade, it's really been 50-50. So I'll write handfuls of songs on guitar, but then I'll also, for me, I like setting up the sequencer for bass lines and a simple drum pattern and just kind of letting go over top of that, you know, like figuring out verse, chorus, melody, stuff like that.
So, since you've mentioned politics before, I've read in one of your interviews that the song Rome from your latest album is some kind of a sci-fi gem about watching the collapse of capitalism in the world. So, how much are your current global politics, especially since the American elections are coming soon?
Yeah, the American elections and where I was living, and I lived in America
you're back to Canada, right?
Yeah, I moved back to Montreal, but I was living in America for about 4 years, and it was really the sort of place I was living in was San Jose, California, which is Silicon Valley, you know? It's kind of like the basement of Silicon Valley. Yeah, it's like Silicon Valley's like shitty backyard, but watching the sort of bizarre, self-congratulatory utopian ideals coming out of this blank place in America watching that happen concurrently with reading the news and watching everything, just kind of the fabric of society in the U.S. collapse to the point where fucking Donald Trump is a legitimate presidential candidate. I mean, that to me is insane. It's beyond parody. You can't even make fun of it. It's just so psychotic. So that whole vibe made me want to move back to Canada, because I felt like the place I was at was just becoming totally chaotic and depressing in a lot of ways.
So, I mean, since you're a man who basically toured half of the world with your bands, I was wondering if you have any special memories about any special remote place which you've visited lately or maybe in the past.
I think, you know, I have good memories from playing in Myanmar and Burma. Mm-hmm. And I've visited there since the show. I stayed in touch with people, and I had, you know, I remembered I had never been anywhere like that before. The sort of overwhelming, oppressive vibe of the military junta mixed with this total chaos of the city, and the people that we met who were playing in the opening bands were so welcoming and, you know, and good at what they did. So I have that.
Are you planning to return there also with the operators, or?
Definitely, yes. Yeah, that would be on any time I get to go to Asia with a band. I would go there, you know, and it wouldn't. And you don't make money when you go there. Obviously, you just do it.
I can't imagine what's the experience of visiting completely. I mean, I wouldn't say underdeveloped, but maybe I could say
it is.
Naive,
it is developing. It is developing. I mean, it's like a lot. I think the median wage there hovers around $50 to $75 US a month. Mm. You know, so
it's
middle income, which is insane. But I mean, I have memories of like the first time I toured the Balkans, and then later I played a festival in Šibenik.
Oh, really?
And had a whole, yeah, the Terraneo Fest back in, like, 2010, 2011, I think, and then toured, like, Bosnia, Kosovo, Macedonia, and went back to those places later in the year, and those are some of my favorite touring experiences. Like, playing in Pristina was completely insane. We played in front of the Grand Hotel and, like, you know, this iconic building from the war, and played outdoors, and it was, yeah, felt good. It felt really good to be there
and meet people. You have some kind of love for these ex-Eastern Bloc countries and the Balkans.
I do, and I have a specific love for Yugoslavia, which, you know, obviously no longer exists, but I think I have, like, very deep Yugo nostalgia.
But where does it originate from?
I think it originated, I mean, when I was a kid and I was in high school, or, you know, middle school at least, Yugoslavia still existed, and I was really fascinated with a lot of kids that age, like boys, that I was just, like, fascinated with fucking, you know, military stuff, like jets. And, like, the space program. And I remember I had a model jet fighter that had the Yugoslavian flag on it. And I would look at where it was on the map,
well,
you know?
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but since you're mentioning this, have you perhaps seen the movie Houston Have a Problem? Because this deals exactly with this supposed Yugoslav space program, which was then sold to the U.S. I don't know if you've heard
of it. Oh, really?
I recommend this to you because you might find it interesting.
Man, I gotta watch that. That sounds amazing.
Okay.
But yeah, I got into that. I was into that when I was a child, and then, you know, later on, I studied history at university, and and I was obsessed with the transitionary Glasnost period into the fall of communism. And so I learned some things, but then what really changed things for me was going the first time I ever played in Zagreb and Belgrade and Ljubljana. I realized a lot of the stuff I'd learned in school about the culture in what was now ex-Yugoslavia was complete bullshit. It was like none of the professors that I had any idea what they were talking about, because they'd, you know, either been there in the 70s or never been there at all, you know? So when I met the people that put on the show in Belgrade were like people that worked for B92, and I just stayed up all night and asked them a bunch of, I'm sure, really irritating questions about, you know, living under the NATO bombardment, and then, you know, and then I got into, like, the food, and I taught myself how to read Cyrillic, because, yeah, and then I started reading more and more books, and made friends, and yeah, it's been kind of a decade-long love affair with this part of the world, you know, for me.
Okay, so since we're running out of time, I noticed that you have 4 days off after tonight's show in Ljubljana, right?
Yep.
So are you planning to stay for long, your stay here, or are you just gonna travel to Denmark?
No, we have to start driving to Denmark, but I think the day, like tomorrow, I want to spend some time in Ljubljana, just walking around, because I've played there a bunch of times, but I've never actually seen the city. I've only ever seen like Metelkova and the stuff around it. So,
so hopefully you'll do it tomorrow.
Yeah, that's my plan.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Dan, for this pleasant conversation, and well, hopefully see you at tonight's show.
Yeah, man. Voila. I'll see you at the show.
Okay. Have fun.
Cool.
Bye.
All right. Take care.
Artificial brown.
Toliko iz ust Dana Becknerja, vokalista, kitarista in klaviaturista zasedbe Operators, ki bo z domačimi Karma Koma drevi nastopila v kinu Šiška. Z njim je govoril Jaša Buženel.
Intervju Radija Študent.